Moving west now, the prosecution has rested in the trial of polygamist sect leader Warren Jeffs. Now it's Jeff's turn to defend himself. His lawyers began by putting several young members of Jeff's church on the stand. Jeffs is charged with two counts of accessory to rape, allegedly forcing a 14-year-old follower into marriage and sex. As NPR's Wade Goodwin reports from St. George, Utah, the testimony so far has provided a rare look into the lifestyle and culture of the members of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
A key allegation in the state's case is that as prophet of the FLDS, Warren Jeffs had so much power over his followers that the alleged victim had nobody who would help her get out of her arranged marriage, not even her mother. So to counter the prosecution's theory, yesterday defense lawyers put on a parade of Jeffs' young married followers, like 26-year-old Jenny Pipkin, who dutifully testified that an FLDS girl could say no if she wanted to.
Is a wife obligated to obey or agree with everything that her husband says in a marital relationship?
Absolutely not. Of course not. That would be hypocritical. What if he went psycho or something? I mean, of course not.
Pipkin testified that after 5 children in 7 years, she informed her husband that she was off the team for a while. When her husband pressured her anyway, she went to Warren Jeffs, and Jeffs backed her up. Pipkin was on the stand to demonstrate that FLDS women aren't doormats.
One day, my husband came home, and our car had a flat tire, and he told me he wanted me to change the tire, and he would watch. And I said, no, I'm not going to lay down in the dirt in a dress and change a tire while you watch.
Were you being disobedient?
No, I felt like he was a little bit degrading me, and so he explained to me that he wanted me to know how to change a tire. So I said, well, if that's your intent, let's go out and you can change the tire while I watch. So that's what happened.
The women who took the stand tended to exhibit a girlish and naive style during their testimony. And for both men and women, there was a gentleness about them, a distant echo of their pioneer heritage. Kenneth Thomas described how early in his marriage, his young wife showed him the error of his couch potato ways while still staying obedient.
I spent a lot of time playing video games, and instead of her coming in the room saying, you know, this is bad, this, you need to give this up, you need to do something better with your life, she would sweetly come to me, maybe suggest she was going out to weed the garden.
Like you could be out weeding the garden.
Correct.
While offering up heartfelt stories of Warren Jeffs' flexibility as prophet, the testimony also revealed a slice of what life is like in the polygamist group. Many of the women married at 17, and most didn't know their prospective husbands at all. Add to this fact that these women have been provided no sex education, and it often makes for a painful and awkward collision of innocent lives. Margaret Thomas described the most intimate details of her arranged marriage to a courtroom of strangers.
Did you know Ben before you were married?
Not very well. I knew his name.
You hadn't dated?
No.
You hadn't courted?
No.
Did you feel like you had love for this man?
No.
Did that take time?
Yes.
And was there any expectation that you would go home on the evening of your wedding and have sexual relations with your husband right away?
No. I didn't know him. It takes time to get to know your husband.
It was impossible to gauge the jury's reaction to this testimony. They took careful notes, seemed fascinated, and laughed from time to time during the funny parts. The problem for the defense is that while these witnesses described how Warren Jeffs helped them during their early years, that's not what the alleged victim testified happened to her when she begged Jeffs not to marry her to her first cousin. And it's those circumstances that have the FLDS prophet facing the prospect of spending the rest of his life in prison. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, St. George, Utah.